So we've been going through 7 weeks. Today's the seventh week of just a teaching and understanding of the Holy Spirit. And today we hit the final subject, which is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it is a doozy. Right, Pastor Arvid? This is a doozy? Is that maybe what we can call it? And we want to give opportunity because the early church had something unique. And that was the Holy Spirit, and they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. So as a forewarning, we're going to give time at the end of the service for that, for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But we want to get there, and we want to get an understanding. And again, I had in my heart for a while, okay, we got to have this teaching. And for those that don't know, Pastor Arvid is our associate pastor here, and he's also my uncle. He was one of my teachers when I was going through Bible college, and he knows a lot about a lot of things, especially the...
Remember when you mentioned weird uncle?
He's my weird uncle now. And Pastor Arvid and his wife Lois, they go out to Colorado for four months. seems like 4 years, yeah. Leaving in a few weeks. And so I'm like, okay, we got to get this in. And it's fun how it all kind of just lined up. Here we are getting right before Christmas. But talking to the Holy Spirit. And so to our guests that are here, there's a few new faces. Welcome. I've been here for 4 years. I'm the lead pastor, Pastor Jason Buck, and we haven't done a service like this. Last week was the first time we did this kind of Q&A podcast type feel, and we're going to continue that, you know, so that's kind of unique, but the altar ministry time we're going to have is also very unique, you know. So if you're a guest and you're like, this church is weird. Well, I blame it on the weird uncle, but this isn't our norm. But we need to make sure we give opportunity, you know. So I'm looking forward today and what this is. And I just ask that you prepare your hearts, open your ears, open your hearts. God wants to do something powerful today, and so we're going to dive in to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So let's pray, and then we'll dig in. Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for your word. Thank you for your son. And I thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, as we learned a few weeks ago, is creative and unique. And Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit is creative today. And that the Holy Spirit does its work, his work in our hearts. And softens our hearts and opens our hearts, Lord, to the work that you want to do. So we invite you, Lord. I pray that you just guide us today. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So, Holy Spirit, Pastor Arvid, is there a difference between the infilling of the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
All right. We're on a roll. That was easy. So what's the difference? Let's talk about the infilling of the Holy Spirit. What would you say is the infilling of the Holy Spirit?
Infilling is when we believe in Christ and when we see our need for his forgiveness and work in our lives. And so we repent of our sins, ask Christ to come in and become the Lord and Savior of our life, and yield our life to him. And then the Spirit of God comes and actually baptizes us into, or the Spirit into us. Okay. And we're filled with the Spirit. So we're born of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. Jesus was born of the Spirit because he was fathered by the Holy Spirit. So when he came into the world, he was born into the world, and the Spirit of God was within him. Mm-hmm. And so that's what happens at new birth. Our life has changed. We become a brand new creation, and old things pass away, and all things become new.
Yep. I remember in the Old Testament, you know, God had this path of rules and laws, and people followed those to try to perfect themselves.
Right.
To try to get holiness. Right. And it didn't work very well because there really wasn't a motivation other than, well, this is what I'm supposed to do. And I believe the Holy Spirit in us is something within us that when it fills us is kind of that voice that says, be better.
Yeah.
Do this. Don't do that.
It also, Pastor, is when the process of sanctification begins. And the process of sanctification goes from new birth all the way through our life.
Right.
And it's simply, It's simply bringing out those things that are within us into sight, into view.
Yep.
So the nature and the character of Christ, because the whole purpose of all of this is to move us into and become like Christ. And, yep. And so it's us dying out and more of Him coming into view.
Yep. Becoming the image of Christ.
Right. And,
yep.
and Paul said, I must die that He must yep. increase.
Yep.
And so sanctification is kind of the death process of Arvid and the new life process coming out of what's already there in Christ, in the Holy Spirit, but bringing that into the world and what the people begin to see is less of Arvid and more of Jesus.
So to ask a question to clarify that. So salvation, is it a moment in time or is it a process?
It is a moment in time because that's when the Holy Spirit comes into us. We are born of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And then the whole process, there's a, Jesus was when he died, he died and went into the grave and he took Arvid with him. He took the old Arvid with him and Arvid was crucified in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So when he came up out of the grave, then Arvid got new life. That's when the new life comes. And that, so now we have water baptism, and water baptism is simply an outward expression of what happened in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
We have to realize, and this is probably one of the greatest needs that the body of Christ and all Christians have to have. We have to realize that we were crucified on the cross in Christ.
Yep.
All right?
Dead.
And so we're dead. And that's why in Romans it says, Romans 6, I think, reckon all things dead. You're dead to sin. We don't have to sin anymore. You know, that's a false thinking,
right.
False preacher. We don't have to.
Right.
When we do, we have an advocate that'll help us and deal with it.
Yep.
But we don't have to because, and so baptism, we see that we take that person and we bury him in the water.
Water baptism. Yep.
And water baptism. And then we raise him up. And it's a symbol of the old man or Jesus being put into the grave.
Yep.
And then Jesus coming alive at resurrection
yep.
Sunday. Okay.
Yep.
Okay. And so that's what we go through. And so the process of sanctification is taking all that was changed at this moment
yep.
and then beginning to bring it out
yep.
it out. And I don't think that stops until we die and walk to heaven. I think
yep.
between death and getting there, there's going to be a total cleansing, a total finish
yep.
to the process of salvation.
Yep.
So one person said we are saved, being saved, and then we're going to be saved.
Yep. That's salvation.
And that's salvation.
Easy peasy.
It's a process.
Uh-huh. It's a process. I don't think I have it on the screen. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, the message of the cross is foolish to those who are headed for destruction, but we who are being saved know it is the very power of God. So salvation is this process of sanctification.
But we need to understand that everything that was done that needed to be done
was done.
Was at that moment
right.
of salvation. But then we got to work. It's got to work out
yep.
in us.
Yep.
Okay, there's got to be an outward expression of what took place there. And in that process, we've got habits we got to deal with,
yep.
and it's just a
yep.
kind of a messy time.
And the you know, it's like taking a vitamin C tablet. You pop it in; it takes a little time to get into
right.
you.
Right.
And the tablet, so to speak, is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the thing that is going to bring this change.
Right.
So another question then is, and I'm not sure if I have it on the screen. So the Holy Spirit is going to help us in this process of salvation, sanctification. What if we resist this allowing the Holy Spirit to change us into the image of Christ?
It's going to be a long process.
It's going to be a long process.
It's going to be a harder process.
It's going to be a harder process. And it also,
and
the
dangerous.
Bible talks about, it's dangerous because
it's
the
dangerous.
Bible talks about this is called resisting the Holy Spirit, or And that can lead to quenching the Holy Spirit, which can lead to blasphemy of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
We don't want to go down that path.
And Pastor, I don't know when all of that takes place. There's no step one and you get to the place and all of a sudden there's a speed bump, you might say, right. That type of thing. And then there's but I do know that when we start resisting,
yep.
we're doing two things. Lord is going to bring more difficult things into our, he's going to permit more difficult things into our,
yep.
Jesus learned obedience through suffering. And so what the whole process is us learning obedience.
Yep.
Submitting to
anybody good
his
here
will.
At obedience, you know, really, really good at obedience.
And that's a
kids.
Process. It's like raising kids.
Right. It's a process.
Or wives raising husbands.
They get to 18 and you finally go, okay, that's yeah. it, I'm done. Get them out of here.
No, it doesn't stop. I'm 79 years old and 78 years old, going to be 79, but anyway, and I'm still dealing with
yep.
my kids.
Right.
And then now there's grandchildren.
Yep.
And
yep. So we have the infilling, which is being born again. We are
right.
filled with the Holy Spirit. And we said, what's the difference between the infilling, or is there a difference? What's the difference? So what is the baptism of the Holy Spirit?
Baptism of the Holy Spirit is when, see, Jesus, born of the Spirit, he comes along and he's right around 30 years old, and he goes to John, and of course John recognizes him going, wait a minute, you're asking me to baptize, I can't even untie your shoes.
Right.
All right. And Jesus said, but you gotta do this for the sake of righteousness. See, and that's a whole nother story.
That's a detour.
Yeah, that's a detour. And, but it's a powerful thing.
Yep.
Of all that happened right there, Jesus became
yep.
the great high priest
yep.
right there at that moment.
Yep.
All right. But at that point, you see, then Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes on a person for the purpose of witnessing, for the purpose of being a living letter to be read
yep.
to witness to people. All right, that's the whole purpose. And he comes to empower us to be able to do that. Jesus being like us, born of like I was when I gave my life to Jesus, and he went through these years, but at that point, the Holy Spirit came upon him and filled and he was baptized into the Holy Spirit, and the power of the Holy Spirit goes out in the wilderness, comes out, and begins a power-filled ministry.
Yep.
Now, it wasn't Jesus doing all that stuff, but he learned to submit his will and his body, his life to the Spirit to manifest itself through him
yep.
and do the works of, you know, say, of healing, deliverance, whatever it was.
Yep. If he had not been baptized in the Spirit, he would have had a powerless ministry.
Absolutely.
Which would be a fruitless ministry.
Absolutely.
And I believe we walk as Christians sometimes that way.
He had a life where he was a good person
yep.
and all that, and he would have had that. Christians, when you're born again, the Spirit of God is working within us the nature and the character of Christ. And that begins to come out. But as far as having a ministry where the Holy Spirit can manifest itself through him in a powerful way, that's kind of questionable.
Right, and that requires the baptism
that's
of
right.
the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
So we've got a slide, a little explanation, try to sum this up. What's the process of both the infilling and the baptism? Number one, we accept by faith that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen.
That's where we have to start, and that's the beginning of being born again. Number two, then we need...
Let me... And it's not... See, so many people think that it's belief about Christ.
Right.
And so they call themselves Christians because they know about Jesus and they believe that he was the Son of God and all that other stuff. That's there and that's real. Okay?
Yep.
But this is... You got to accept him by faith. You got to accept what he's got for us.
Yep.
That's where we begin to struggle at that point.
I think the key is not necessarily us knowing him. Does he know us?
Yeah.
There are people that join us online that I've never met. And maybe they know me, my stories and speaking, but I don't know them. There's no relationship.
And that's all about relationship.
Yes.
Everything.
Yep. We gotta know Christ and Christ gotta know us.
Yep.
And that takes time.
Absolutely.
So number one, accept by faith Jesus Christ is Lord. Number two, we need the desire to be filled by the power of the Holy Spirit, which we call complete surrender. To allow the Holy Spirit to baptize us with power, we have to completely surrender. There can't be not that area, but. It is complete surrender is what we're going to see in our examples in the scripture that we must have. Number three, receive it by prayer. We have to ask for it. This baptism, the power of the Holy Spirit, we receive it by believing, by faith, and we ask for it through prayer. And number four, expect by faith that God has baptized you. You have to believe, because this is something God wants to do. He wants to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. He wants to give you power. You have to believe when you've asked for it, you've received. And that's faith. It requires
right.
some faith.
In both of them, when you ask Jesus Christ to come into your life, all right, you have to, when you're all through praying and you get up, you have to believe that just happened.
Yep.
And now you might feel something, and when you're born again, you're going to experience different things. I experienced a joy that I had to tell somebody. That was and so you're going to experience some, but there's going to come a time when the devil's going to question it. And he's going to say, did that really happen?
Right.
You have to believe that it happened. Let me read a scripture.
Sure. We like scripture.
Yeah. It says this, yet he did not waver, though unbelief regarding this promise of God, regarding this promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. So we have to believe. Romans chapter 4. And we have to believe, Pastor, that when we give our life to Jesus Christ, we ask him to come into our life, that new birth happens.
Yep.
We've got it. Because the enemy is going to test it. And it's the same thing with baptism of the Holy Spirit. You know, we're going to pray for people. Somebody might come up here and they might not feel, or they might not whatever. That doesn't mean it doesn't
right.
happen.
Because it's not about feelings.
It's
and
not
emotions.
About, no, it's about asking for something. And,
yep.
and you said if God, if you ask for a fish or something,
right.
he won't
He's
give,
not
you
give you
a
snake.
Snake.
Right.
Yeah. All right.
Yep.
And so it's asking, believing that you receive it, and that God has done it. Because the enemy wants to, he'll come in and he wants to take that thing away from you.
Yep.
He wants to say, no, it didn't happen.
Right.
And there are millions of Christians
right.
that have gone this far and really lost it
yep.
because they didn't
Doubt.
Believe
right.
that God would do what he promised.
Right. Yep. So this begs a kind of a bonus question here. Again, this process, we need salvation. We accept Christ. We're born again. He begins to do his sanctification work into us, and we are looking for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible talks about this a lot in the book of Acts. But here's a question that we always bring up. When someone is baptized in the Holy Spirit, do they immediately speak in tongues?
No. Many will. I believe that if they walk in the Spirit, many will, and the others that don't will.
Okay.
I think that it will come.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And there are testimonies, including mine, that it wasn't something that came initially, but it came, you know, 2-3 weeks later.
Yep.
Okay. But what came to me was what I needed to walk through, and I'll share
right.
that
yep.
in my...
But sometimes there's confusion in this subject, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, maybe a resistance. Because in Scripture, in the book of Acts, it talks about five times of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And in three of those times, it clearly says they immediately spoke in tongues. And the other two, it's kind of inferred that that's what happened immediately. And so there has been an emphasis on this in the church and certain denominations. But in practical, in your life, not necessarily so. Right. And so this area can be confusion, but we want to make a very, very, very important note is that we are not talking about being baptized into gifts. We must be baptized in the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Let me make something very, very clear. I'm going to emphasize this. The Holy Spirit, the gifts, we call them the gifts, they're manifestations of the Spirit.
Words of wisdom, prophecy, encouragement.
It is the Spirit that is manifesting His nature, His power through an individual. Everybody get that? So when we term gifts, what happens is that we have, and this has been a wrong teaching in the church, we talk about the gifts of the Spirit. And so I've got this gift of prophecy. I've got this gift of wisdom. I've got this gift of discernment, and therefore it's mine, and I can do with it what I want.
Wrong teaching.
Wrong teaching. It is the manifestation. See, what our desire is for this church is that all of you get the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Of the Holy Spirit.
Let the Holy Spirit, if you read that about the gifts of the Spirit, it's as the Holy Spirit does it in you. See, it's not how you do it. And so understand this, that we're not going to ask the Lord this morning to give you gifts. That's not going to be our prayer.
No.
Our prayer is that you are baptized in the power of the Holy Spirit to be a witness for God in the world in which you live to the people in which you are around.
Amen.
All right? And God then, through the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit through you then will give you manifestations of these things when and if it is needed. You all understand that. Get that in your minds. Understand. Get the gift before you. It is the gift of the Holy Spirit that gives you the power. It's not getting the power. It only comes through
the Holy Spirit.
Jesus could do nothing on his own until he was baptized in the power of the Holy Spirit, then the power manifested himself through Christ to do these mighty works. Everybody grab a hold of that. If you have any other thinking than that, erase it and come this morning. If you're going to come for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you're coming for one thing and one thing only, and that is to receive the gift that God has for you of the Holy Spirit so that you can be the witness of Christ in the world in which you live, period.
Yep. Amen.
Is that clear enough?
Okay. I put an exclamation point on it. I think you did a little better job, you know, than my little slide there.
Well, it's why this means so much to me, people. I have seen so much
pain.
Oh, junk from churches and teachings. Oh, can I share one story? Lois, I'm sorry. You should not have brought it up this morning. It's all Lois's fault. I'm your strayed uncle. You're in trouble. This actually happened to a very dear friend of ours. He's up in Canada, and he's sharing a message. He ends the message, and he was praying about the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And he invites people to come up to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he ends it, and he turns around to put his stuff down on the pew behind him. And he turns on, and a man had come up, and he was standing there, and these three or four well-meaning men got around him, and they were They were praying in tongues out loud and all this stuff. And one got in front of him and he was trying to work his jaw like, and he began to say, pa, 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 pa. And he said, that's it, you got it, you got it, you got it. And pa, pa, and the evangelist looked down and the guy's pants had fallen off. And he was trying to say pants and they were thinking that he was beginning to speak in tongues. Alright, we all laugh at that. And those men were well-meaning men, alright? But they were moving in the teaching that they understand. See, and in that thinking, what were they wanting him to do? Speak in tongues. What was the evangelist wanting? For him to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Two different things. One might come later or happen then. But the thing that we're after, I would rather have a church full of people that have the fruit of the Spirit first, but then have the power of the Spirit and be yielded to that Holy Spirit that they get baptized into to work in and through them whenever the Holy Spirit wants to. If that happens in this church will become a powerful church. Why? Not to stand up and say, look at us, but a powerful church to bring the expression, the nature, and the character of Jesus Christ to the world around us.
And not only the church, but your family. I mean, your workplace. When we are empowered by the Holy Spirit, it changes everything.
Absolutely. No, I'm sorry. I'm preaching, okay. I will be quiet.
That's another gift, I think.
That I struggle with. Okay.
So, when we talk of baptism, we're hopefully all here familiar with water baptism. And now we talk about baptism of the Holy Spirit. So what's the difference? We want to talk about the difference between baptism of water, and as the Bible might talk about, is baptism of fire, or baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we'll read a scripture here in a second. But before we do, just three things to look at when it comes to baptism, differences in baptisms. One, you need to look at who's the baptizer. Number two, what is the element being used for baptism? And then number three, what's the purpose of this baptism? And so I'll read a scripture. Luke chapter 3, verse 16, excuse me. John answered their questions, this is John the Baptist, by saying, I baptize you with water. You got two of the things right there. But someone is coming soon who is greater than I am. So much greater that I am not worthy to be his slave and untie the straps of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So give me the elements, the three pieces, if you want to put that back up, Andrew, those three pieces of water baptism.
Water baptism starts with the baptizer is the person who's doing the baptism.
And in this case, it was John the Baptist.
Right. In our cases here, it could be you, the pastor, or myself. Yep. All right. And the element for water baptism is water.
Yep.
In the Holy Spirit baptism, the element is the Holy Spirit. The baptizer in the Holy Spirit is Jesus.
Jesus does the baptizing.
Okay, so as we do this today, Jesus will be here to baptize them.
Yep.
He's the baptizer into the element of the Holy Spirit.
Yep. Sometimes the element, as we just read, is also referred to as fire.
Do we want to go there?
I don't know if we want to go there.
But that's a whole message.
It is.
Yeah. So that's the purging part.
Yep. And if I had dirt on my arm, I could use water to remove it. Water baptism. It's pretty good. But another way I can get rid of that is to set it on fire. Because that will completely purge it. And one day we will all go through fire.
Of some kind.
Of some kind. And I want to be purged completely before then. And the only thing that can do that to prepare me is the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. The purpose, in the first purpose, it is to bring salvation.
To not recognize salvation.
But to recognize salvation that was done by faith and belief.
Yep. Water baptism.
Okay.
So
it becomes an expression
to
the world around us that we are united with Christ.
Yep.
And the second one is for the purpose of receiving power to witness.
Yep.
And let me go back to the element.
Sure.
I heard this example that in the flood, you have the earth, and the earth, the rain started coming down for 40 days, all right? And then at the same time, the water that was in the earth belly or came up out of the belly, yep. out of the earth. So right. the surface was being baptized from what was within and what was coming down. Okay.
Don't use this as a, you know, tool for describing it.
Okay.
Matt's gonna pull his hair out.
anyway, the surface of the earth was totally permeated.
Yep.
With water that came yep. from within the earth.
Yep.
So at the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's not just Jesus placing us into the Holy Spirit.
Right.
It's the Holy Spirit coming out of us so that every part of us
yep.
is anointed, is permeated
yep.
with the power of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And when we can grab that.
Yep. Wherever we go,
wow.
it's right there ready to bubble out.
Yeah.
Come out, power of the Holy Spirit. So, question. I'll read a scripture and let you share with this. When were the disciples filled? We've talked about filled with the Holy Spirit and baptism in the Holy Spirit. When were the disciples filled with the Holy Spirit? We get this out of John chapter 20, verse 19.
Okay, they're in the upper room, and Jesus all of a sudden is there.
Yep, let me read it. That Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. "Peace be with you," he said. As he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and his side, and they were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. Again, he said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." There's a purpose right there. Verse 22. Then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sin, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." When did they receive the Holy Spirit?
All right. Can we go back to the first one? Sunday evening. So this is the day of his resurrection.
Easter Sunday.
So it's the evening of the day that he was resurrected. All right. And he comes to them through locked door. They're back there and they're afraid of what might happen to them because their leader had just been crucified.
Yep.
All right? And so they're there and all of a sudden Jesus is in the room. And he says to them, "Peace be unto you." And he shows them his hands and feet and he says this again, "Peace be unto you." And then he turned to them and what does it say? Next one, as he showed them his hands and they were filled with joy. The next one. And again, he said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me," remember, God sent him into the earth. So as the Father has sent me, I'm going to send you. I could do nothing. I needed the Holy Spirit. So now here we go. All right. And so anyway, and then he breathed on him and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." The word "breathed" there is, and again, in the Greek language, you can conjugate a verb about 360 different ways and with a prefix or a suffix. But anyway, that particular word that's used there was a command that happened right now. It's the only way you can define that word, that this is experience that happens right now. Second aorist indicative mood, all right?
If I took a water balloon and I threw it at Dave and said, "Receive this water balloon," we would all see clearly that it took place.
Right there.
Right then and there.
Right. And so that's what happened. The word "receive the Holy Spirit," the word "receive" is a word where he breathed, the word "breathe," he breathed on him. It's only used three times in the Bible. Two times in the Old Testament where he breathed into Adam the breath of life, when he breathed into the dry bones the breath of life, and now when he breathes into Jesus Christ. It's the same. The Greek word, the Greek, is simply a definition or explanation of the first word. Only used three times in the Bible. So at that point, they received the Spirit,
the filling of
and
the Holy Spirit.
Breath, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and His power.
Yep. So now they're filled. They're born again. because of the work Jesus just did.
Right.
You know, he immediately, right. Okay, I just did this cross thing and I'm a resurrected. Right. Okay, now you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. So this started, as we talked about, the sanctification process. And so the next 40 days was a piece of cake, right? Things are really easy for them?
No.
No.
Because they were still
bad habits.
But they were still suspect. They could have been gone through all kinds of things.
Yep.
They were still afraid.
Yep.
All right. But they were commanded to stay there and in Jerusalem and wait for the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Yep. So let me read Acts chapter 2, then I'll ask the question. Acts chapter 2, 1 through 4. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven like a roaring and mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire, there's that element again, appeared and settled on each one of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking other languages. The Holy Spirit gave them the ability. So when were they baptized in the Holy Spirit?
Day of Pentecost.
Day of Pentecost. 40 days later.
40 days later, and all of a sudden this all happens.
Yep.
And there's about 120 or so there. And the wind, the sound, it was a sound, it wasn't wind, it was sound of a wind, powerful something or whatever. And there were what seemed to be, fire. But again, and those tongues of fire, it's kind of what happened to Jesus, only his was, what John saw was
a dove,
a dove coming down upon him.
Yep.
But it remained in him.
Right.
And there's power in fire.
Yep.
You know. But anyway, that's when they were baptized
in the Holy Spirit.
Into the Holy Spirit.
Yep. So we've seen the filling of the Holy Spirit with the disciples. We've seen, and they had a process, and they continue to have this process of sanctification. But then we had this baptism of the Holy Spirit. So they were an example. But let's look at the example of Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 3. And we talked a little bit about this. One day, Luke chapter 3, verse 21 and 22. One day when the crowds were being baptized, water baptized, Jesus himself was baptized. As he was praying, the heavens opened, and the Holy Spirit, in bodily form, descended on him like a dove, and a voice from heaven said, "You are my dearly loved son. What you bring me great joy." So, what's so special about this day? What's so special about this moment right here?
That's another teaching of, because there's so much was happening right there.
But this was kind of the beginning.
This was when Jesus Christ, when the power of the Holy Spirit came on him, then now he could begin to walk in a ministry that the Holy Spirit would bring into his life.
And if Jesus, our example, was water baptized, and John is like, I can't do this.
Yeah.
Jesus said, no, I must be. If Jesus is our example, we need to be baptized.
But
we
also
need to be water baptized.
In that scripture, there's another translation that says, Jesus said, this is proper and has to be done.
Has to be done.
Because it is an example for you and I.
Yep, yep.
And Jesus is our
example.
Example.
So, now we'll read a couple more verses here. Luke 4, 1 and 2, and then I'm just going to skip ahead and we'll read 14. So Luke 4, verse 1, then Jesus, full, because he's been filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan River, and he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where he was tempted, sanctified, whatnot, tried, by the devil for 40 days. Jesus ate nothing at the time and became very hungry. So for 40 days he goes out there, and then he's tempted in all different ways by the enemy. And then in verse 14 it says, then Jesus returned to Galilee filled with the Holy Spirit's what? Power. Something happened. What just happened?
What just happened is that at his baptism, he was filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. One person said, whenever somebody is filled with the Holy Spirit, we need to lock them up for like 6 months.
Mm.
And because there's a process. There's a process that all of us go through when we're baptized in the Holy Spirit. And that process is to learn how to take this power and be a part of what the Holy Spirit's doing.
Yep.
Jesus had to go into the wilderness and he had to become face to face with the enemy. He had to learn what just happened in his life.
Yep.
And so what he did was he, as he yielded to the Holy Spirit gave him wisdom, knowledge about what scripture fit the situation.
Yep.
And he spoke to them, you know, time to go, that type of thing. So it's like he's, you know, if you give a person who's never used a hammer before,
right,
and you say, here's your hammer, and they go, oh man, bang, bang. They can crash all kinds of things.
I was just picturing Trevor's an electrician, you know, they need electricity at a house. And so he shows up, knocks at the door, strips off two ends of a wire, flips a switch and go, here you go, here's the electricity for your house. You know, that could be dangerous, you know, but it needs to be channeled, it needs to be taught,
you
needs
need
to be
to
put
know
how to use it.
How to use it.
Yep.
You need to how, okay, yeah.
Yep. So, after we're born again, example of Jesus. He was born of the Spirit. He was born again when he was a child. He was born of the Holy Spirit. And then we saw he was water baptized. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then he was tempted and tried. This is all an example to us. And this is that process we go through. And even as a child, Jesus was tested and tried.
Absolutely.
You know, and he still had to, in that time, if he didn't have the power of the Holy Spirit, he had the Word of God. He had parents. But something unique is happening here because he was tested and tried before, but now these 40 days in the wilderness, now Satan's getting involved. And I think when we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, that's when Satan finally goes, ah, what's going on here?
And the major thing that, you know, the Bible says that Jesus was learned obedience through suffering. I don't care how old we, you know, where what age we are in the process. I'm still learning obedience, and a lot of times it comes through suffering.
Yep.
And obedience is simply submitting to the will of.
Yep.
And so Jesus had to learn how to submit to the will of God and the will of the Holy Spirit.
Yep.
And let him manifest. So it's all just a process.
Yep.
And we all walk the same way.
Yep.
Because Jesus came as our example.
Yep.
To do it. And so he's born of the Spirit. We need to be born of the Spirit. He's filled with the Holy, or baptized in the Holy Spirit. We need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit.
Yep.
To receive power to be a true witness to the world
yep.
around us.
So Jesus was saved, water baptized, filled with the Spirit, tempted and tried, and is now baptized with the Holy Spirit, full of the power of the Holy Spirit. He is showing us Spirit-filled living. This is what we must do. This is our example. And we need to submit, we need to surrender completely to God so that he can take control of our life as with the Holy Spirit. But a big question that comes in this process, the sanctification process, is what happens if I resist this?
Again, the same thing. The same thing that happened. If we resist what God is trying to work in us, then it begins to take it opens up a place we don't want to
yep.
go.
1 Thessalonians 5:19. Says, do not stifle the Holy Spirit. And so we can't resist. We can't stifle. And I think Rick shared this last week with me. It means to blow out. If the tongues of flame of the Holy Spirit is burning your life, we're sitting there trying to blow it out. We can't do that. And then that leads to Luke chapter 12, verse 10. Anyone speaks against the Son of Man can be forgiven, but anyone who blasphemies the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. Can you explain that or share that, this resistance of the Holy Spirit?
In Hebrews chapter 6, it says this, therefore let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ. And go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and of faith in God, instruction about baptisms, plural, the laying out of hands, resurrection of the dead, eternal judgment, and so forth. All of that, Paul sees as being elementary.
Basic.
Basic stuff. Problem is that we it's like the foundation of a house, and so all of that is foundation, and what a lot of people do is they put a roof over it, and that's where they live, and they don't go on and start building the next floor. But listen to what it says now.
Verse three.
Verse 4. Let's go to verse 4. For it is impossible. Everybody say impossible.
Impossible.
All right, now he's going to tell us what is impossible. All right? For it is impossible to bring back to repentance. Everybody say repentance.
Repentance.
Okay, I'm doing that for a reason. Those who are once enlightened, they've heard the good news. Those who experienced the good things of heaven, that's salvation, shared in the Holy Spirit, that's the baptism in the Holy Spirit,
yep.
Who have tasted the goodness of the Word, they've got into the meat of the Word, in other words, they've gone beyond the foundational teachings, and the power of the age to come, in other words, they've experienced miracles in your life, and then turn away from God. It is impossible for those who have experienced these things and turn away from God to bring them back to what? Repentance. Doesn't say salvation. Doesn't say forgiveness. When we start resisting the Holy Spirit, we are on a path that will take us to a place where we begin to reject what He's done. And it's not that God can't forgive us. It's the fact that our conscience becomes seared so that we can't repent. It's not about God.
He's still offering it right there.
But we don't have the capability anymore because we can't repent. You all see that? And it goes on. It is impossible to bring such people back to repentance. By rejecting the Son of God, they themselves are nailing Him to the cross once again and holding Him up to public shame. All right, that's what we're talking about. If you resist, then you begin to reject, you begin to do this, do this, and this, and finally you get to the place, and I don't know where that place is, I think it's individual, but you get to the place where all of a sudden your tenderness to the Lord, your ability to repent is seared and you can't do it. If you still can say, Father, please forgive me, I repent of this sin, you're not there yet. You understand that? I don't know where this is. So the thing to do is don't go down that road.
Don't go there. Don't resist.
You
don't
just
stifle.
Stop resisting. Okay.
Nearing the end here, so just a couple more questions, important questions, because there is always this confusion when it comes to the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the things that we attach to it, but we need to talk on the subject. So in the Old Testament, Pastor Arvid, when it comes to gifts, were there words of wisdom, prophecy, miracles, healings? Did all that happen in the whole Old Testament?
Yes.
In the Old Testament, as far as you're aware, was there ever the speaking of tongues and the interpretation of tongues in the Old Testament?
I just thought of the Tower of Babel. That had to be like that,
like,
because nobody could understand.
Correct.
Anybody.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
But as far as I know,
yep.
No, there isn't.
So is there a relationship then, now that we're in the New Testament, and we still have these same things that all the Holy Spirit allowed in the Old Testament, having miracles and prophecy and wisdom and stuff like that. But it seems that now in the New Testament, with this baptism of the Holy Spirit, there's two new ones. This speaking in tongues and interpretation of tongues. So what's the relationship with all this?
The hardest thing that we have to control is our tongue.
Yeah.
And to yield your tongue to the Holy Spirit to be able to speak through is probably one of the greatest things that can happen to us.
Yeah.
But it's also sometimes the hardest thing.
Yes.
And it's kind of a total surrender when we do
total
that.
Total surrender. Yep.
Because the hardest thing we've got to surrender, I can surrender my life to him. I can surrender my hands to him. And he can do things like in the Old Testament, Holy Spirit came down, did something, left. But now we're in not a visitation, but a habitation culture.
Yep. Yep.
Okay. And so he comes down and he's got to deal with the tongue.
Yep.
And so in speaking tongues, you yield that tongue and the breath and so forth to him, but he's the one who manifests the words.
Yep.
He's the one that brings the language,
yep,
whatever it is.
And I believe it's both English, known language, and unknown language. Because Paul says, you know, we go before kings and governors,
right,
and courts.
Right.
Don't worry about what you're going to say. The Holy Spirit, I don't think we're going to go before governors and speak in tongues.
No.
I think we'll go before governors and judges.
Have
and
wisdom,
he'll give us
knowledge,
wisdom and knowledge. But we still have to yield the tongue. And it is a hard thing,
right,
to do.
And so, you know, it is. But it's also, it's a tremendous edification of the church. But again, like we talked about last week, when it comes to tongues, it's like there's a second rider on that. There's a second part of it. And that is that when it comes to the individual, the prayer language that God gives us,
yep,
it's for edification, the lifting up, the building up,
yep,
of the Spirit of God within us.
Yep.
And so it becomes a powerful part,
right,
of our lives. But again, it's gifts and we're after the gift.
Right.
It's, we're after the giver.
The giver, not the gifts. So in 30 seconds or less, no. So what's your story when it comes to the baptism of the Holy Spirit?
Okay. I'm coming back. I was part of the lay witness mission movement in the Methodist Church. And the man that I was actually my mentor, my father in the spirit, was one of the men that started it back in the late 60s, which became worldwide. It was a tremendous movement. And, we were coming back from a meeting and a lay witness mission, and I was driving, and while I was there, some of the people came. That was on a Saturday night, and they came and they were praying with Bob Bellman, my mentor, and I was kind of sitting off to the side, and while they were praying, I had some of this goofy stuff in my head, and I thought, oh, I'm just really tired. And so on the way home, I'm driving. I said, Bob, I said, last night we guys were praying. This happened. And he said, Arby, he said, I think that the Lord is trying to, wanting you to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I really didn't know a whole lot about it. Okay. And so he shared a couple of things and he reached over and he laid his hand on my wrong thing to do when you're driving, because some people, anyway. And so he's praying for, and he prays that God, that the Holy Spirit, that Jesus come and baptize me in the Holy Spirit. Well, the only thing that happened was that all of a sudden I have this unbelievable wanting and desire to tell my mom that I love her, because mom and I were on the outs, okay? And for years, I thought blamed me for dad's death, and I kind of blamed myself for dad's death. I kind of blamed her. I mean, it was just, wasn't good. And, I had this overwhelming love for mom. When I got home, the first thing I did is I got on the phone and I said, Mom, I love you. And it was late at night when I got home, and she's kind of going, what happened to you? You know? And so anyway, a couple of weeks later, and I haven't told anybody. I haven't told Lois, nobody, what had happened. And a couple of weeks later, she goes to wash clothes at the laundromat, and I'm just had this desire to pray. Got down next to the bed, began to pray, and I began to pray, and I went to say hallelujah, and it came out hallelujah, and I'm going, I mean, really. And then Bob said, Arv, when this happens, don't resist it, speak it out. So I purposely said hallelujah or something like that. And it was like I opened a door.
Floodgates.
And for the next 2 hours, I prayed in a heavenly language. I laughed. I cried. I got up. I knelt down. I turned around. I jumped. I don't know what the Hofers below us were thinking was going on upstairs, but I was in this world of Jesus, and I was having a blast.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what happened to me.
Yep. So your salvation was at a point, and then there's infilling, and there's baptism, right. And then there was the power up, and the first power
was the witness.
Love. Yeah, to your mom.
But it was to be, and that's the whole thing. But that's what struck me.
Yep.
The thing that I desired the most was to witness to my mother that
yep.
I loved her.
Yep. Yep.
And isn't that the reason for the baptism of the Holy Spirit?
Amen. To be a witness, and
right.
It's a joy. It's a bubbling up. It's something on the inside that you just, it explodes out of you. I was a different story. 8 years old, I went to Bible camp. We have our Fusion Bible camp many years ago. Back when I was a kid, it was in Camp Chitek. And the first night was Salvation Night. And usually they have a succession, you know, of different things they have. And I was in kids camp, 8-year-old kid. I remember being in the cafeteria. That's where the kids camp was at. On these wooden benches, I was sitting at the end, and they asked if you wanted to receive Christ. And they had explained all the package deal of what it means to have Christ in your life. And I wanted it, and I wanted all of it. I didn't want this and that and the other thing. I wanted everything. And I went forward, and I prayed for salvation. And I just remember, just as a little kid, just getting hit with joy and with love, all these emotions, even though it's not an emotional thing, it hit my emotions of, wow, this is the love of God. And I began to burst.
It's called supercharging.
Supercharging. And immediately I began to speak in tongues. 8-year-old kid hasn't had a teaching and understanding, but an 8-year-old kid has complete understanding of what it means to be obedient, well, they should, and surrender. And has a childlike faith. And I would just remember going, God, I want everything. And from that point on, I was filled, baptized with the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking in tongues. And I've gone through a sanctification process that he's still working for a season heavily, but even now, you know, it's still this process. But it is, I cannot be a pastor. We cannot be pastors without the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and then God gives us the means, the manifestations of how to do what we need to do.
Yeah, yeah, and that's exactly what happened with Jesus.
Yep.
See, and so that's, you know, if Jesus needed it,
yep,
and the Holy and the disciples needed it, and the early church needed it,
yep,
why don't we also?
And we should be like,
yeah,
I don't have everything. I want everything.
Yeah.
Release everything.
And our prayer is that every one of you have that kind of desire. It really is to get everything that God has promised you. He promised you salvation. He promised you the baptism and the power and all of the Holy Spirit.
Yep.
He promised you these things that come with that. He's promised us. Every time there's a problem, along with that problem comes a promise and what you get out of it. All right? So understand that when you got a problem, he says, embrace that problem that you might receive. So out of that, with that problem, what God's desiring is to give you something, and he's got a promise of what he's going to give you. When you walk in the problem, he'll give you the promise, and it becomes that. So, yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
So, we want to give opportunity. We want to give opportunity. I'm going to invite Trevor and Sam to come up, and they can start playing some music. I want to read the scripture, Acts chapter 19. Andrew, if you'd put that up. It says, while Apollos was in Corinth, Paul traveled through the interior regions until he reached Ephesus on the coast, where he found several believers. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? He asked them. No, they replied. We haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. They were lacking understanding and teaching, which has been the desire of this series. Verse 3. Then what baptism did you experience? And they replied, water baptism. Baptism of John. And Paul said, John's baptism was called for repentance of sin, but John himself told the people to believe in the one who would come later, meaning Jesus. What did Jesus baptize in? Fire, the Holy Spirit. And so as they heard this, they were baptized in the name of Lord Jesus. Then when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them and they spoke in other tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 of them in all. We want to give opportunity. Now what, how does this work? I don't know. Because Pastor and Arvid, we don't baptize you in the Holy Spirit. That's up to Jesus. And it requires you to believe and you to desire and you to ask for it. And we want to give that opportunity for you to ask for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But you have to ask Jesus. You don't ask us. I didn't put it in my wallet this morning. But it does say that they laid hands on. And other scriptures talks of the elders laying hands on. And so that's something that, that we will do here this morning. Let me explain to you what we're going to do here. Because I want you to know, no surprises, what we're going to do. Number one, we want to give opportunity. I'm going to have two invitations. It's kind of a combo. That if you've never received Christ, if you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, if you've never been born again, that's the starting point. And as an 8-year-old kid, that's how I started. And number two came right in quick succession. Or maybe you don't know. And we've been talking about there's resistance and all these different things. You don't know where you're at. Maybe you want to rededicate your life. Today is the day. This is the opportunity we want to give for that. But secondly, I do want to give an invitation of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This is not the baptism of gifts. This is not the baptism of tongues. We are seeking the giver, God, the Holy Spirit, not gifts. If you would like to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we're going to invite you to come. And in a moment, we're going to invite a prayer team. I'm going to have a number of people, and they're just going to stand here, kind of making a semicircle around the edge, and I'm asking them to pray. And they get to pray a couple ways, and they get to praise a couple ways. Some will pray in English. Some will pray in their heavenly languages that God has given them utterance. And we want to create an atmosphere of prayer, of praise. And that's what we want to create up here, inviting the Holy Spirit to come. And then Pastor Arvin and I and our elders, Steve and Jamie, we're going to go around to those that are up here, and we're going to lay on a hand, as the scripture tells us, and this is what we're going to pray. We are going to ask God, ask Jesus to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. That's it. It's pretty simple. That's going to be our prayer. We want it to be your prayer, and we want you to simply ask, God, baptize me in the Holy Spirit. And what's going to happen? I don't know. He's going to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. I'm sorry, I started to cry because I just looked over at my son. God's doing something in his life. Sometimes emotions occur, but that's not what we're looking for. That's not what we're expecting. You might just stand there and go, yeah, that's it. And so everyone else that we tried to make some extra room. If you have not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, get up here. We have room. There shouldn't be a reason to resist it. There shouldn't be. But if you have been baptized before and you remain in your seats, we ask you just to stand there to pray. We're gonna, in a moment, we'll have a song that you can sing along. We just want to create a beautiful atmosphere of praise and worship. And I just ask you to be patient. This shouldn't take too long. We've gone a little bit long. God doesn't need 6 hours to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. He just needs your heart to believe. He needs you to ask for it and receive by faith. And just so you're aware, in a moment here, I'm going to ask Matt to turn off the live feed. This is a family thing. We're not going to record it and send it out. The audio recording, that's going to be off as well. And we'll have some time of prayer, and then we'll see where it leads. But we want to give opportunity this morning.
And so, go ahead. And those who need to leave are welcome to leave.
Yep. We don't want, but I ask you to stay just for a few moments. I'm going to invite you to stand and let's pray. And then I'm going to invite. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. Oh, Lord, this is so good. I thank you for the experience of brothers and sisters who've gone before us. I thank you for Pastor Arvid. Lord, I pray you continue to bless him and his ministry. Lord, he and his wife, Lord, I pray that you bless them. Lord, and we thank you for this time. And Lord, I thank you for your Holy Spirit as you are. You are doing work right now. Lord, there are some that are just sitting here right on the edge. There's something in their heart saying, yes, I want everything God has. But there's another voice that is saying, you don't need that. So Lord, we speak against the enemy. Satan, you have no place in here. Get your thoughts out of this place. Lord, we want you and you alone. Lord, we want you to do a special thing right now, Lord, because this is going to be a birthday for many people. Lord, this is going to be a special day. And they're going to go into Christmas for the first time in their life, fully receiving everything God has to offer. And Lord, they are going to erupt in joy. Lord, they're going to erupt in the Holy Spirit. So Father, we give you this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.